Okay, so we're trying two things today. One is just explain the concept of Purim Meshulash, then also to give a little halachic guidance about plans for this Shabbat. Okay, so let's do both. We'll start with the general Purim Meshulash question, and then get to where to be for the Shabbat. Okay, so if we think about the average Purim, I would say we have the following mitzvot that we try to do. Okay, so what do we have on Purim? Of course, we have Mikra Megillah, we have the Seuda, we have Mishloach Manot and Matanot Lev Yonim, right? So that's four mitzvot already. And then in terms of ritual life, we also have a Kriyat HaTorah we do, the Yavo HaMalek, and we say Al Anisim and Davening. Okay, so let's look at those as six things again. Mikra Megillah, Seuda Purim, Mishloach Manot, Matanot Lev Yonim, Kriyat HaTorah, and Al Anisim. Now, an average year, this does not cause any tension, because what day should I do all six of those things on Purim? So that means if I'm outside of Yerushalayim, I do that on the 14th of Adar. If I am in Yerushalayim, right, a walled city from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, so I do that on all six of those things on the 15th of Adar. Right, so in a normal year, this would not be a cause of tension. Okay, however, Shabbat is the interesting variable. What happens if we throw Shabbat into the mix? Now, there's a reason why you might not have ever encountered this back in Chutz Laaretz. Because, as you guys know, in the Jewish calendar, there are certain things that can't happen. We'll discuss it some other time, but you may know that Pesach can only fall out 4 days a week. It's a famous rule. Actually, I should say Rosh Hashanah, excuse me. Although it's true about Pesach, too. Anyone remember this rule from elementary school? Rosh Hashanah, lo adu rosh. Rosh Hashanah will never be on Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. We'll discuss why some other time. Okay, so when they made a calendar, it's also true that the 14th of Adar never falls on Shabbat. You guys with me on this? So if Shabbat's going to be a variable that's going to shift things, that's why you'll never encounter this outside Yerushalayim. Because the 14th of Adar never falls on Shabbat. So for example, this year, the 14th of Adar will be Friday. So if you're outside of Yerushalayim, there's no tension. Right? When do you do all six of those ritual things we discussed before? You do all of them on Friday. Right? There is no issue whatsoever. Ah, however, in our calendar, the 15th of Adar can overlap with Shabbat, as it does this year. Okay, and then it becomes a question, what happens when you have the six things and Shabbat? So a couple of things here, guys. So this is quite interesting, because at first glance, it would look like, what's the big deal? None of those six things involve a malacha. Right, so why can I do all of them on Shabbat? But yet, there are two tensions, and I should, let's do the two tensions. So one, some of you, a bunch of you are learning Megillah, right? Yeah. It's one of the night sitter groups is learning Megillah? Yeah. Okay, so you probably encountered this idea. I'm sorry, more than one? No, most of them. Okay, great. So you probably encountered the idea that we don't do Kriyat Megillah on Shabbat. Not because Kriyat Megillah is a malacha. Okay, who remembers why? Okay, there's a famous thing called Gzeira de Rabba. Rabba was nervous that you'll end up carrying on Shabbat. So there's three mitzvah that Rabba said we don't do on Shabbat. And those three are? Shofar, Lulav, and Megillah. Okay, so you do have the Shita of Rabbah that we can't lay in Megillah on Shabbat. I will just point out there's also a Shita of Rav Yosef who seems to connect it more. And remember, why can't we do it on Shabbat? Because Megillah is associated with Matanot Lev Yonim, right? The poor wait for Megillah reading to make their major collection. And therefore, if that's on Shabbat, it's going to get in the way of their ability to collect money. So according to Rav Yosef, it might not be because of Gzeira D'Rabbah reasons. It might be for Matanot Lev Yonim reasons. Be that as it may, we can't do Mikra Megillah on Shabbat. Okay, so already we have a shift of some of our six things, some of our six items. Mikra Megillah, even in Yerushalayim, moves to Friday. We now read it on the 14th. And what, basically we just learned, guys, what other mitzvah is the tag team partner of Mikra Megillah? Matanot Lev Yonim. So if Mikra Megillah moves to Friday, so does Matanot Lev Yonim. Okay, everybody good so far with that? Okay, so we already have moved two things to Friday. Okay, now comes Yerushalmi. I always like when this happens. There is no Bavli like this whatsoever, but comes along the Yerushalmi. Oh, David Ben-Tor, this could be like a great Zionist moment for you. The Yerushalmi changes halakhic history. Okay, so comes along the Yerushalmi and says that there's a contradiction between Seudat Purim and Seudat Shabbat. Now again, it's not obvious that should be the case, right? There's no malacha involved in the Seuda. But the Yerushalmi says, no, it doesn't work. You can't do Seudat Purim on Shabbat. Therefore, we move the Seuda till Sunday. Okay, that's what Yerushalmi says. And if we said Matanot Lev Yonim is the tag team of Mikra Megillah, what is the partner of Seudat Purim? Excellent. Now there is, not everybody agrees with this, but one dais says the whole purpose of Mishloach Manot is to ensure that everybody has enough food for the Seuda. So there might be a linkage between Mishloach Manot and the Seuda. So that's also a package. So based on the Yushalmi, now it happens, two more of the items now get moved from Shabbat to Sunday. Right, so we move now both Sudat Purim and Mishloach Manot to Sunday. Now here's where things get very interesting, guys. There's no Bavli like this. So there's always a question, if you have an explicit Yushalmi and no Bavli, what should I assume? So I admit, guys, that our psak is to follow the Yushalmi here, but some Rishon Nachronim thought the Bavli doesn't agree. Okay, now even give you an example, guys. Some of you might remember this from Megillah. Why don't we move the Mikra Megillah to the 16th, past the 15th? And remember the Drasha? There's a pasuk that says, Lo Yavor. Excellent. You guys are doing a great job in Night Center. So couldn't you argue that the Lo Yavor should be a principle that also is applied to Suda? Like, is it obvious that the Lo Yavor is only for Mikra Megillah and not for Suda? So there are some Rishonim who say the Bavli implicitly disagrees with Yushalmi. And according to the Bavli, we would not push off the Suda till Sunday. But standard psak is not like that. But realize, this was not like an easy issue. Like even though we get to the Achronim, some Achronim thought we should not follow the Shulchan Aruch. Some Achronim thought, Shulchan Aruch paskens, we move the Suda to Sunday. Some Achronim did not think so. But that is, excuse me. That is the standard psak. One other just interesting thing is that a curious aside. So we have Shlomo Kluker, and sorry, let's go back for a second, guys. This is just interesting conceptually. Why would it be that Yushalmi thinks that Sudat Purim and Sudat Shabbat contradict each other? So probably most of us think it's some kind of like Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha kind of idea, right? You've heard that idea before? That maybe each Chag deserves its own commemoration, each one deserves its own identity, and if I'm combining a Sudat Purim with a Sudat Shabbat, something is going to lose out. Either the Shabbat Sudat will lose out, or the Purim Sudah was out. That's the simplest approach. But there's an amazing piece in Rosh Hashanah Kluger. He says, "Given the Sudat Purim be'inan dechayev adam levesume bepuraya ad lo yada ben aram levarach Mordechai." Since on Purim you're supposed to get slightly tipsy. Okay, that was my interpretation there. Uvi Shabbat. Okay, it wasn't. You know, as we say, every translation is a interpretation. Uvi Shabbat be'inan zakar at yom Shabbat lekacho. And Shabbat, you have to remember Shabbat. Meaning Shabbat is about an awareness. It's about a consciousness. And being tipsy gets in the way of awareness and consciousness. So it's this kind of an interesting idea that it's not so much, according to Rav Shlomo Kluger, Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, but the mode or the experience of the suit is different. There's something wilder about a Purim Suda. And apparently that is not the atmosphere for a Shabbat meal. So be that as it may, where are we holding out, guys? So let's just review for a second. So this year, Yud Dalet is Friday, Tedvav is Shabbos. So let's go back. If we're outside of Yerushalayim, okay, how many mitzvot should we do in Yud Dalet? All of them. No reason why not to, right? Friday is a perfectly fine day. Okay, if we are in Yerushalayim, now what happens? So what got moved to Friday? Mikra Megillah and Matan Elyonim. What got moved to Sunday? The Suda and Mishloach Manot. What is left on Shabbat proper? Mikra Megillah and Al Nisim. Okay, well, good somewhere, guys? Okay. Now we get to the practical part of the point, okay? So if you live outside of Yerushalayim, life's pretty easy, right? Just stay outside of Yerushalayim. I mean, if you come to visit for a few hours, it doesn't change your status. So for almost all the Rabbeim, right, let's say you live in Modi'in for the sake of the argument, right, so you are Chayav on the 14th. You will do all your mitzvot. If you come in on Sunday, okay, you came in on Sunday and spent some time with the yeshiva guys. It's wonderful, but your halachic status is not in question, nor did you miss out on anything. Okay, but let's go to you guys, who are now Yushalmis for the purpose of this argument. Okay, so let us say you want to go visit your grandma in Renana, right? You want to spend a little time at Teaneck there. Okay, so you want to go there for Shabbos. Okay, so now, here's the two questions that come up. One is actually less serious, and I'll get to the more serious one in a second. Okay, the less serious one is that, let's again review what's happening here, guys. You slept in Yerushalayim Thursday night, which is the 14th. Then you slept in Renana Friday night, which is the 15th. Then you come back to Yerushalayim Saturday night, which is the night of the 16th. Everyone in the air so far? Okay, great. Now, here's the lesser problem and the more serious problem. Okay, the lesser problem is you're going to miss out on two things, right? Since you're not in Yerushalayim on Shabbos, what will you not hear? You won't hear Kriyat HaTorah, nor will you be able to say Al Nisim. Now, I have to admit, it's not such a halachic disaster. Okay, many of you may know it's not obvious at all that Kriyat HaTorah is a chovat yachid, that's an individual obligation. Could be a Kriyat HaTorah is simply a chova on the tzibur. So if there's a relevant tzibur, the tzibur should do Kriyat HaTorah. Okay, so it's not obvious there's even such a thing as tashlum. Right? You miss Kriyat HaTorah? Okay, you'll hear it next year. It's not obvious that's terrible. Even recital of Al Nisa might not be such a problem. I would say to you, I think some of the poskim say this, so insert it, at the after, right before Al Kainitzar. Right? See Al Nisa there as a voluntary addition on Shabbos, and that might be a way to deal with it. Okay, so that is not really the issue. Okay, here's where the one issue comes up. Okay, when do we determine what your status is? Like, apparently your status could shift in a given year based on where you sleep. Let's say I really want to be part of Pur Mishulish, right? I've dreamed my whole life being part of Pur Mishulish. Even though I live outside of Yerushalayim, how could I be a full participant in Pur Mishulish? I could just move to Yerushalayim. I'll move to Yerushalayim for the weekend. I'll sleep there Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday. And lo and behold, I will be treated like a Yerushalayim person, and I'll have Pur Mishulish. So that's great. And if I'm in Yerushalayim and I want to avoid Pur Mishulish, I could do that by simply leaving Yerushalayim, right? I'll move to Alon Shvut for 4 days, and lo and behold, I'm not part of Pur Mishulish. Have a good time, right? Okay, where do things get tricky? When I shift gears in the middle. Okay, when I shift gears in the middle, my status might not be so clear. And it seems to be, well, that the chiyuv depends on where I am, let's say, when the sun comes up on the right day. Where I am when the sun goes the right day should affect my status. So let's think for a second. If I am living outside Yerushalayim, and the 14th night passes, and the sun comes up, that is obviously my day, right? Because the 14th is the day for people outside of Yerushalayim, right? That's pretty much a no-brainer. So this year, when I in Alon Shvut wake up on Friday morning, the sun comes up, and I'm there in Alon Shvut, lo and behold, what's my status? I am a Ben Ir from Alon Shvut, and my perm is the 14th. Okay, but let us say, now you can see where things get a little interesting, guys. Okay, we're going to have a double chakir here. Let us say I am a Yerushalmi. Okay, in this year, which morning should determine my status? Why is it not so clear? Because I am doing some mitzvot on the 14th and some mitzvot on the 15th. So is my status determined when the sun came up Friday morning? Or is my status determined when the sun came up Shabbos morning? Everyone still with me? Why there could be some ambiguity there? Yes? Okay, now comes the great case. So if you guys choose to go to Tinek for Shabbos, okay, or, no, you should just make up some other one. Or you go to Chashmonim, we'll just call that Woodmere. Okay, you go to Tinek or Woodmere for Shabbos, right? So now, let's think. If I say my chiyuv was determined the night of the 14th, you guys are still in great shape. Because where did you sleep Thursday night, Friday morning? In Yeshiva. So you were already determined at that point as being a Yerushalmi. So okay, you went away for Shabbos, but then you come back Saturday night and you fulfill your Yerushalmi Chiyuvim on Sunday. Okay, we're still good summer, guys? But what if I say that your Yerushalmi status is solidified Friday night, Shabbos morning? So then what happens? On Thursday night, I couldn't get my Ben Ir status because I was sleeping in Yerushalayim. Then on Friday night, I can't get my Ben Krach status because I was sleeping outside of Yerushalayim. The end result might be that I'm not chayv in perm at all that year. Okay, now that might sound like an advantage, but it's a disadvantage if one actually likes to fulfill the mitzvot of perm. Okay, so that is why my recommendation was, again, I think people misunderstood. It was not about missing Kriyat HaTorah. I think we can live with missing Kriyat HaTorah. Okay, but there is a possibility that somebody who sleeps in Yerushalayim Thursday night and outside Yerushalayim Friday night is not chayv in perm at all. Okay, that is a possibility. Now again, I'm not saying it's usher or it's a halachic disaster, but if you want to know, that's the reason for the preference I sent out to be in Yerushalayim for Shabbat. But I would say anybody who has a good reason, you could go. Like if someone says to me, again, I use this example on purpose, someone said, I have a grandmother in Renana, I never see her this year. In my mind, that's a great reason to go. So go, and because don't forget, it's not, I'll say two things. It's not obviously it's a problem. It could be that a Yerushalmi this year has his status determined on Thursday night. If your status is determined on Thursday night, you're already not in a problem. And If that's not true and you're not chayav, okay, so it's not ideal, but again, there's no sense of isser here. Okay, so I would say to you, if you have a choice, you should stay in your shalom for Shabbos. If you really have no choice, then I think one can be lenient on this issue. Okay, David Bentor.
If someone leaves Thursday night, then they fulfill Purim on Friday.
Look, in theory, you could. No, but your problem is, don't you want to be in yeshiva Thursday night? I mean, in theory, you could solve your problem by sleeping in Neve Daniel on Thursday night and doing all the mitzvahs on Friday. That is correct. Okay, that would be a way to deal with it. That is correct. Yes, simply.
I'm staying in for Purim, but as a theoretical question, what are the final
boundaries of Jerusalem? Okay, that's a really good question, but not for us right now. But this whole discussion, are you in Megillah, Simcha?
No.
About Samach Venera, how you define Samach Venera. But it is complicated, so I'm not going to get into it. Okay, it's always the good thing, guys, right? You could always, when you're a teacher, you always say, I don't have time to discuss that, but the real reason is because you have no idea what the answer is. Yeah. You don't determine.
Doesn't this happen practically every year?
No, why does it not happen? Well, it happens, I'll tell you why it doesn't happen every year, because every year in Yerushalayim, when are you doing all six things? The 15th. So there's a total clarity which night should determine your identity in Yerushalayim, the night of the 15th. It's only this year, because we do some mitzvah on the 14th, that it's not clear which night determines your identity.
I think it means that you can avoid
Purim. Oh yeah, that's true. But there's legends about two people, I think they're both not true. There's legends about two people that they didn't like Purim, and they would avoid it by being in Yerushalayim the night of the 14th, and leaving Yerushalayim for the night of the 15th. They tell that legend about both Yeshaya Leibovitz and about Ernst Simon. But I can testify from Ernst Simon's grandson that it's just not true. In fact, he tells the following story. He once asked his father, you know, sometimes you hear rumors about your own family in school. So a very, very good guy named Itamar Simon, or maybe it was his sister, Michal. They came home from school and they says, Abba, their father's a very famous Tanakh professor named Uriel Simon. Is it true that, you know, his Saba used to avoid Purim altogether? And because that's the rumor. And he said to him, like, don't you remember him sitting at our table at the Purim Seder? And said, oh, yeah, you're right. I guess it's not true. Okay, guys, so I don't know if it's true about Yeshaya Leibovitz, but it might not be true either. Yeah, Charlie. I'm going to take this as a purely theoretical question, Charlie. It does not actually apply to Charlie Samuels,
yeah,
so I'm not going to answer it. Okay.
What? We just saw a source that says that the reason you're drinking Golus is because if you're not in Eretz Yisrael, it says on Purim you're supposed to be happy and simple, and it's very hard to do.
Charlie, you look to me like a guy who really can enjoy life in Golus too. You sit down at Carlos and Gabi's and you're just in a great mood. I don't see any, like, you know, Avelis for the Corbin going on. Okay. Okay, who else has a question? Yeah. So that's an interesting question. So Michael has a very good question. Maybe I could do the opposite. We just talked about the possibility of avoiding Purim on both ends. Maybe someone who really loves Purim could be Machayev himself in Purim on both ends.
Wow.
Right? Meaning you'd sleep outside your shrine the night of the 14th. And then you'd have to make it through Shalim. It's just not so easy, because you have to make it through Shalim in time. You have to do your suit on the 14th outside of Shalim and make it through Shalim in time to hear the Megillah. But you're right, Michael. In theory, someone could be chayav in both perms. Okay, pretty cool point. Yeah, Joey.
Why do we do this on Friday?
Well, so that, I did mention that not a big reason to Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, do you want to know what the svar for Yerushalmi is? Is that the question?
No, he's saying
why push back, not push forward. Okay. No, I'm saying, but Yushami's explicit. Yushami doesn't only say, don't do it on Shabbos. Yushami says, ma'achri. Now, that still doesn't tell you the sfar why, you're right. So if you're curious, I was going to give Shir Chloe about this on Thursday, by the way, before the snow hits. But there's a Me'iri that says, where is it? There's a Me'iri that says that we're waiting for this Man Chiyuv to kick in. And if you can push it up early, you're doing it before the chiyuv kicked in. So he thinks that from that perspective, it's better to delay than to go earlier. Although you're still right, Joe, you could ask, well, why does Mikra Megillah play out differently than the Suda? That's a very interesting question. Yes, Zach?
Someone who has 2 days
for a Galil. Okay, so let me one thing, Zach. This has nothing to do with, we should keep one half or 2 days for a Chag. This is a totally separate question.
Wouldn't that person consider themselves living outside of Eretz Yisrael?
No, because don't forget, even if I'm an outside Yerushalayim person, if I come to Yerushalayim for 4 days in the context of Purim, I'm just considered a Yerushalmi. So even though it's a very interesting question, right, this is a good example why one gets more learned, because what seems like the parallel question is not parallel at all. Okay, guys, this has nothing to do with Pesach about how many days you should keep for Yom Tov. So you cannot catch someone in the contradiction. How could you do that on Purim when you keep these amount of days for Yom Tov? They are not related questions. Chaim Stanton, what's one caveat? Okay, Chaim? This question cannot mention the word COVID, okay? Okay.
How would this affect, Shariah Sebo, Aliyah, Leni Megillah?
Okay, that's a very interesting question. It probably is true that if you're someone who's not chayv on that day, you shouldn't Leni Megillah for someone who is chayv on that day. That is correct.
And also for Kula?
What?
For
Aliyah. I think for Aliyah it shouldn't matter. I might be wrong, but I think it shouldn't matter. Are you Leni Chaim? You just curious?
I was going to do it last year.
I'm sorry?
I was going to do it
last year. No, but in London it wouldn't have come up though.
No, I was doing it on first.
No, but I'm saying, but in London Evan has the same day, so there wouldn't be a parallel question.
No, I just wanted to do it all up.
Ah, okay, great. Just theoretical, off. That's the best. Joey. To Mikra Miguel, yeah. That's a good question. He wants to know, on Sunday, could be Yotzi Mishloach Manot by giving it to a recipient who's not a Yerushalmi? That is the question. It should depend on that Chakira. I don't remember what the postkim say, but I guess I would give at least one. No, Yotzi with one Mishloach Manot. So I would say give one of yours. You can give Joey to Rav Gav, Rav Judah, whoever you want, but I would give, actually Rav Gav is Yerushalmi. I would give at least one to somebody who's in Yerushalmi. Yeah, Yoni.
Yeah, there's similar times, but if someone reads Megillah here Friday morning, does that mean by leaving for Shabbos, they're retroactively less?
No, guys, why is Megillah a different issue than not less intense this year?
Everybody
does it on Friday.
Right, but in theory, if you then leave for Shabbos, then your chiyuv, I guess your chiyuv is still.
Yeah, even if you were Shalmi, your chiyuv is also Friday. And there is one complication, but I'm going to leave it out for now. Yeah.
Is there a story to say, hollow?
Okay, very clever. Does everyone understand Josh Shapiro's question? That's a very lumpish question. Okay, guys, if you understood the question, you get extra dessert today. If you didn't understand the question, you don't get extra dessert. Okay. Doesn't Michael make cake every day now?
No?
Okay. Here was his question, guys. There are three reasons we don't say halal and Purim. What are the three reasons? Okay, either Megillah is the halal, or we're still servants to Achashverosh, or it's David Bentor. Or because it happened in Chutz Laretz. Who could say how on a miracle that happened in Chutz Laretz? Okay, so in any what? That's such a good question, Elias, the Gemara's question. Okay, look it up. Megillah Yudal, guys, look it up. Okay, so in any case, so there is a Meiri that says that when you don't have access to a Megillah, you say halal. But we do not possibly like that Meiri. Okay, for two possible reasons. One possible reason is that, first of all, the Gemara had three reasons. So, Josh, how do you know that's the reason? Maybe we pass one of the other reasons.
Don't we reject the Kutlar's idea?
No, the Gemara has an answer to the question. The Gemara answers the question. Secondly, there's a beautiful piece in Rav Hutner and Pacha Yitzchak where Rav Hutner says that it's not that we're doing a substitute halal, but that this is a unique kind of halal. This is the right kind of halal for Purim. Ever understand the difference? We're not saying Mikra Megillah is the substitute for a regular halal. We're saying the correct mode of halal on Purim is Mikra Megillah. So if Rav Hutner is right, even when you're not saying Mikra Megillah, it would not be the appropriate move to say halal. So Josh, is a very good question, but we do not do that. Sage.
I think just to elaborate on what Yoni was saying, is that if you go those post-game that say that sleeping in Yerushalayim on Yudal, but then outside on Tetvav, you're never chayav, then theoretically, you weren't even chayav on Mikra.
Oh, that's an interesting point. That's an interesting point.
No, but if you so like five on the same day, whether you're
from... No, because... Yeah, no,
oh, that's an interesting point. Yoni, are you going away for Shabbos?
I don't know.
Okay. Let me look into it tonight. That's an interesting question. I'm sorry, I didn't understand the depths of your question. Okay, that is a good question. Okay, last two comments, then we're going to go to next year. Okay, Joey. No, but Josh was suggesting that if the 15th is still the real Purim day in Yerushalayim, just for technicalities, I can't do a certain mitzvot, maybe I should give expression to that through saying halal.
Instead of
yeah. That was the suggestion.
Or,
no, in addition to Megillah, I'm sorry. You know, Josh, you could be right. That could be a third answer. Like, besides the things I said, once you did the Megillah, you did the Megillah, even if it was on the 14th. That might be the best answer, actually. Okay, last two. David Ben-Dor.
Someone wants to do the two first. So, are you allowed to be drunk while on the song of Megillah? If you have a suda,
okay, David Ben-Dor, I'm going to go out on a limb and just make up a pesach right now, okay? Even if you do two perms, you're not allowed to get drunk twice. Okay, the seventh rule in halacha, you can't get drunk 2 days in a row. Okay, yeah, Josh, you're yeah, not fresh right now. Okay, guys, just a very brief summary. Okay, so again, if you are a 14th person, all 6 mitzvot are on the 14th. If you're on Shabbat, if you're Yerushalmi, so the Kriya and Matan of Yonim get moved to Friday. The Suda Mishkamah get moved to Sunday. If you are in Yerushalayim for Shabbat, there is no issue whatsoever. If you leave Yerushalayim for Shabbat, okay, so you miss out Mekor Megillah, you should insert Al Anisim at the end of davening. And I pointed out why it might not be ideal, but again, if you have a need, I think there is room to be makel, there's what to rely on. All right, guys, and would you have a Purim Sameach?